we'd like to call you Jesus, Jesus.
Let's begin
as evangelist Gravel
takes you further.
We're going to pick up where we left off, and we were reading in Isaiah 51, and he says, "Behold, the hands of the Lord is not shortened that he cannot save." Listen to what Isaiah is saying. He said, "Behold, the hands of the Lord is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ears heavy that he cannot hear. But our iniquities they have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." This is why God is not hearing our prayers today, saints. Our sins and our iniquities have separated us from God. You know, you wonder how we can be separated from God. It's through sin. If you're sinning and doing the wrong things, God is not going to hear your prayers. He's not going to answer. You know, in the very first verse, Isaiah tells us, he tells those people, that God doesn't have heavy ears. He can hear everything. He tells those people, the people of Israel, he say, and his hand is not shortened that he can't save. God can save anybody and everybody, but you have to want to be saved. You know, God's hand is not beyond the reach of salvation. He is a God of salvation. He sent Jesus to save the world. So there's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing that he can't do. You know, and Isaiah went on to inform the people that of Israel that their iniquities, you know, and they about their iniquities. This is what's separating them. And they were breaking the laws and the commandments of God. This is what was wrong. And this is what had separated them, and they couldn't get answers from God. They couldn't get their prayers answered. He said, this is what separated between you and God. It's their sins that have caused God to hide his face from them. So what's happening today, saints of God? Let's understand what's happening today. You know, it's a lot of people that say, well, I prayed. And they don't even tell you that they pray anymore because they're ashamed that they're not getting answers. Well, saints, it's not a time to be ashamed. It's a time for you to understand and know what's happening. Just like in those days, God hid his face from those people because they were sinning, sins of iniquity, you know. They were breaking the laws and the commandments of God. They weren't doing them. This is the same thing that's happening today. You know, church people are attending church services just for the sake of attending. You know, they have a form of being like Christ, but they deny the power. They don't believe that the power of God heals and delivers and do all those things that God says. They don't believe that, because if they did, they would be preaching it. They would be teaching it. They would be living it. They would be actually doing those things, you know. The church today is existing without full power of God. You know, they have some power, but they're not working with the full power of God. You know, we have power over Satan. But it looks like that Satan has the power over us. When you look at the life of Christians, you look at the way Christians live, from leadership on down, and you would think that Satan have the power over us. But saints of God, that's a lie. Satan have no power but the power that we give him. You know, we can't allow evil to triumph over us. We're living in the last days, and we need to know what God says is happening right now. We need to know that. If you don't know what God is saying is happening right now, you're in a fix. And you may go down with the ship. You may not reach heaven. You know, we're going to turn our attention to we're going to turn right now our attention to God and to the Word, because this is what we're supposed to do. You know, we're turning our attention, the Word, the people are, and the church folks are, you know, because there are no real answers to their prayers. You know, we see no power of healing and deliverance. you know, from God. We see evil. We see evil spirits and demons and devils taking over people's life, and we know that God said we have power over all the power of the enemy, and He said nothing shall by even hurt, any means hurt you. But we see that in the circle of the church, we see that demonic powers, drug addictions, alcohol, and addiction. You know, people are living according to the will of the flesh. And we see that taking over people, the young people, even some older people. You know, it's taking over, you know. And we're going to have to learn that we have the power. We're going to have to get in that right spirit and that right attitude as to where God can give us the anointing. He can pour His anointing all over us, and we can do just what Jesus did and the greater works. But it's going to take a clean life. You're not going to get up there and start practicing things of God and you have a dirty life. We saw that from the seven sons of Sceva. You know, we can't afford to be the church and have these things happening in our midst. You know, we can't be the church and having demons and devils running around in the church, doing everything they're big enough to do, uprooting the households, and people are not safe in their own homes because of the spirit of killing and the spirit of murder and suicide. You know, you're not safe in your home because somebody might take a knife to you. You know, murder, the spirit of murder. All these things are what's happening now in homes. You read, look at the news. And sometimes I just have to turn it off because it's too much going on. We have to know that we have all power. And saints of God, our biggest power is the power of prayer, intercession. We have to intercede for these people. Just because it's not happening in your home, you are supposed to intercede. I know God asked a question one time. He said, why is there no people to intercede for these people? We are the people of the church. We're supposed to intercede for all peoples, not just our household. We're going to look at 2 Timothy 3, and we're going to start probably at the first verse. And it talks about the last days, which is the time now. The Bible calls it the apostasy. And it's a biblical term, and it means the abandonment or renunciation of religion or political belief. Saints of God, if this is not where we are now, I don't know where we are. We're in the age of apostasy. And what that means is we're in the age of where people are abandoning the church, they're abandoning and renouncing religious beliefs and political beliefs. Now you tell me that's not what you see on your TV every day on every news station. You know, you see the preachers coming up and they want to walk with the world. So, you know, they're going to give the homosexual a little pass. Well, we don't see it quite like that today. You know, we love everybody. Yeah, you're supposed to love everybody, but you're not supposed to love sin. You're not supposed to take the side of sin and political beliefs. That's just off the chart. You know, we have so many things going on. We have a lying demon that has gotten into the political arena. A lying demon is in the political arena. It's everything one party say is nothing but lies. They build it on lies. They talk about it on lies. They sleep with the lies. And they get up and they propagate the lies again. So see, we see that in the political belief, they're not doing like the forefathers set it up out of the Bible. You know, this is exactly where we are now. The world is abandoning religious beliefs. The church is abandoning religious beliefs and political beliefs that has been founded on the church, that has been founded in the Word of God. See, every one of these things that we're living through now has been founded through the Bible. Our political stance has been founded by the founders of the Constitution upon the Bible. And when you start taking that loose and dismantling that, then you see what age that we're in. We're in the age where everything is that can be taken away is going to be taken away. All the good things that God has given us, they want to abandon that. And they want to practice lying and stealing and cheating and corrupt communication, corrupt manners in religious things and in political things. So, saints of God, we see where we are. We see exactly where we are. And the church has to get back in perfect alignment with the Bible. We cease to be right. We cease to be the light and the salt of this earth when we abandon the Word of God and walk and act like the world. In 2 Timothy 3, you know, we know that the last days, he said perilous times would come. And perilous mean dangerous time, grave times, hazardous times. You know, times where evil is on the rise and good is being talked down and evil is being talked up. These are the times, he said, that will come. That's what Paul is telling Timothy, and Timothy is saying these are the things that's coming in the last days. We're going to have these hazardous times. We're going to have times that are evil, and we're living in those times right now. He said people will be unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. And my God, all you need to do is turn the TV on and you'll see and hear people accusing people falsely. And they don't care if you know the facts that it is false. They just want to accuse them of being false. And they know it's the truth. So we see people that have turned the whole thing of good and evil around. The people that do good, they call them evil. The people that do evil, they call them good. And so we see how the times have changed. We're living in those times now. He said people will be unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. We've had so many truce that has been broken until it's unreal. It's been unraveled and taken apart, and evil has taken the place. Not anything of substance, just evil talking and evil thinking has taken the place of things that was once a truce, once good things that was going on for the nation and for the country and for the church. Now it's thought of as evil. You know, and he said we'll have false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. We see that every day in our lives, in our homes, in the church. People don't like people that do good. They like people that's just a little bit shady like them. But if you're all good, they call you goody two shoes. And that means we don't quite like you. We don't quite like you because you're a little too good. I don't believe nobody's that good, they'll say. You know, people today will stand on the side of those that are evil. You know, that are evil, that don't do good. You know, people that are wrong, you know, before they'll follow somebody that's good. And saints, that's just not right. God is looking at this. God sees what we do. And he knows everything that we do. As God's church, we must learn to discern the times. We must not take sides with the world. Our place is to stay firmly planted, rooted and grounded in the Word of God. We serve God, not the world, and not the devil. Let's really be the church. Don't